We'll be reading sections of the play, since it's a three-act play and we're only meeting for an hour. And then we'll be stopping to discuss at various points in our reading. A little background on Brecht. He was born at the turn of the century, and when Hitler came to power in Germany, he was very against totalitarianism, and he fled the country and came here. He worked in Hollywood for a while, worked for the studios a little bit, and was a Marxist. He died in the early 1960s and was called before the House of Un-American Activities Committee. He testified there and decided to leave the country voluntarily. So he was offered a theater in East Berlin under the communist government there. So he took up their offer. Have a book, Dave.
Thanks.
And established a theater in East Berlin that produced his plays until his death. A friend of his in this country was Eric Bentley, and Eric Bentley has written a lot about American theater and became the chief translator for Bertolt Brecht because Brecht was writing in German. But Bentley has written a lot of critiques of American theater and world theater also. But he is, I think, a good translator, and he was a friend of Brecht, and they would talk about the translation. So I think we probably have a pretty good translation of his ideas. It seems to me in reading Brecht and studying him that he's a humanist, I think even above being a Marxist. He just thinks we ought to treat each other well. And while he certainly doesn't hold any kind of orthodox Christianity, I think a lot of the challenges that he's presenting are very similar to the Christian challenges, and I think that's why I'm so attracted to him as a playwright. In the play, I think in Good Woman there aren't so many Marxist references, but as I read Brecht, I see this plea for let's be human to each other, let's treat each other better than we have in the past. And again, I just think his history of despising totalitarianism made him always a kind of an uncomfortable ally of communism. In fact, when he was working in East Berlin, he kept his Austrian passport, which leads me to think that always he wanted that bridge to the West, even though he chose to work in the East. So a little bit of background about Bertolt Brecht. His a famous work that he's done here that you may have seen or heard of is the Three Penny Opera. That's his work. And the Caucasian Chalk Circle. That and Galileo, the play about the scientist. He's a well-recognized playwright and director in this century, and he believed that we should break down the walls between the audience and the actors, and so the actors will sometimes directly address the audience, and he put film projections and signs, and he did very non-realistic staging because he wanted the audience to think. He really wanted them to consider what was happening in the world, and he wanted theater to be an instrument now of changing the world and changing people's lives. So with that little introduction, why don't we just start with the prologue on 17. Everybody's got a copy. Well, Dave, since you're the only man here, would you like to read Wong, the Water Seller? And let's see, I didn't get your name.
Anne,
would you be the first god and
Mary
the second god? I'll be the third god, and then that'll take care of the first scene anyway.
I sell water here in the city of Setsuan.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't easy. When water is scarce, I have long distances to go in search of it. And when it is plentiful, I have no income. But in our part of the world, there is nothing unusual about poverty. Many people think only the gods can save the situation. And I hear from a cattle merchant who travels a lot that some of the highest gods are on their way here at this very moment. Informed sources have it that heaven is quite disturbed at all the complaining. I've been coming out here to the city gates for 3 days now to bid these gods welcome. I want to be the first to greet them. What about those fellows over there? No, they work. And that one there has ink on his fingers. He's no god. He must be a clerk from the cement factory. Those two are another story. They look as though they'd like to beat you. But gods don't need to beat you, do they? What about those three? Old-fashioned clothes, dust on their feet. They must be gods. Do with me what you will, illustrious ones.
Ah, so we were expected.
Oh, yes. And I knew you'd come.
We need some place to stay the night. You know of a place?
The whole town is at your service, illustrious ones. What sort of place would you like?
Just try the first house you come to, my son.
That would be Mr. Foe's place.
Mr. Foe?
One moment.
No!
It's too bad. Mr. Foe isn't in, and his servants don't dare do a thing without his consent. He'll have a fit when he finds out who they turned away, won't he?
He will, won't he?
One moment. The next house is Mr. Chang's. Won't he be thrilled?
Mr. Chang.
Keep your gods. We have our own troubles.
Mr. Chang is very sorry, but he has a house full of relations. I think some of them are a bad lot, and naturally, he wouldn't like you to see them.
Are we so terrible?
Well, only with bad people, of course. Everyone knows the province of Guan is always having floods.
Really? How's that?
Why, because they're so irreligious.
Rubbish. It's because they neglected the dam.
Shh. You're still in hopes, aren't you, my son?
Certainly. All Setsuan is competing for the honor. What happened up to now is pure coincidence. I'll be back.
What did I tell you?
It could be pure coincidence.
The same coincidence as Shun, Guan, and Setsuan. People aren't religious anymore. But let's face the facts. Our mission has failed.
Oh, come. We might run into a good person any minute.
How did the resolution read? The world can stay as it is if enough people are found living lives worthy of human beings. Good people, that is. Well, what about this water seller himself? He's good, or I'm very much mistaken.
You're very much mistaken. When he gave us a drink, I had the impression there was something odd about that cup. Well, look.
A false bottom.
The man is a swindler.
Very well, count him out. That's one man among millions. And as a matter of fact, we only need one on our side. These atheists are saying, the world must be changed because no one can be good and stay good. No one, eh? I say, let us find one, just one, and we have those fellows where we want them.
Water seller, is it so hard to find a place to stay?
Nothing could be easier. It's just me. I don't go about it right.
Really?
Oh dear, they're catching on. Excuse the intrusion, dear sir, but three gods have just turned up. Three of the very highest. They need a place for the night. Seize this rare opportunity to have real gods as your guests.
A new way of finding free rooms for a gang of crooks.
Godless rascal, have you no religion? Gentlemen of Setsuan? Patience, illustrious ones. There's only one person left. Shente, prostitute. She can't say no. Shente! Shente, it's Wong. They're here, and nobody wants them. Will you take them?
Oh, no, Wong. I'm expecting a gentleman.
Can't you forget about him for tonight?
The rent has to be paid by tomorrow, or I'll be out in the street.
This is no time for calculation, Shente.
Stomachs rumble even on the Emperor's birthday, Wong.
Setsuan is one big dunghill.
Oh, very well. I'll hide till my gentleman has come and gone. Then I'll take them.
They mustn't see her gentleman, or they'll know what she is.
I think it's hopeless.
A room has been found, illustrious ones.
Oh, good. Let's see it.
Just a minute. It has to be tidied up a bit.
Then we'll sit down here and wait.
No. Too much traffic, you know.
Of course, if you want us to move.
You'll be staying with a single girl, the finest human being in Setsuan.
That's nice.
They gave me such a look when I picked up my cup just now.
You're worn out, Juan.
A little, maybe.
Do people here have a hard time of it?
The good ones do.
What about yourself?
You mean I'm not good? That's true. And I don't have an easy time, either.
I think he's gone now.
Yes.
Mom.
Shantae! Oh, I'm sorry. Shantae. So, she's gone off to earn the rent. Oh dear, I can't go to the gods again with no room to offer them. Having failed in the service of the gods, I shall run into my den in the sewer pipe down by the river and hide from their sight.
You are the illustrious ones? My name is Shantae. Would you please me very much if my simple room could be of use to you?
Where is the water cellar, Miss Shantae?
I missed him somehow.
Oh, he probably thought you weren't coming and was afraid of telling us.
We'll leave this with you. He'll be needing it.
Thank you, dear Shantae, for your elegant hospitality. We shall not forget. And give our thanks to the water seller. He showed us a good human being.
Oh, I'm not good. Let me tell you something. When Long asked me to put you up, I hesitated.
It's all right to hesitate. If you then go ahead. And in giving us that room, you did much more than you knew. You proved that good people still exist, a point that has been disputed of late, even in heaven. Farewell.
Stop, illustrious ones. I'm not sure you're right. I'd like to be good, it's true, but there's the rent to pay. And that's not all. I sell myself for a living. Even so, I can't make ends meet. There's too much competition. I'd like to honor my father and mother and speak nothing but the truth and not covet my neighbor's house. I should love to stay with one man. But how? How is it done? Even breaking a few of your commandments, I can hardly manage.
Let's stop here. This is really the central problem of the play, the problem of being good in that wicked world. Did anything occur to you as you were reading it? Does anything strike a chord as far as maybe Christian stories or some tensions you might feel in your own life? Did you find any parallels in what we read in Shantae's Dilemma or the God's Dilemma? Or Wong's Dilemma, even.
It's also good Samaritan.
Yeah. There's certainly a parallel there. Wong is trying to be a good Samaritan. Another one I thought about, too, was it Abraham who was arguing that Sodom and Gomorrah shouldn't be destroyed if there was one good man left, you know. And I'm sure Brecht is pulling off of those histories. I mean, he's making this story. Have you ever felt that tension that Shantae feels in trying to be good in an evil world?
Many times.
This theme just echoes over and over again in Brecht's work. How can we be good when the world is evil? And how can we stop from being evil ourselves?
That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Sometimes not to use a sense of humor, to hold your tongue, not always, you can't always say what you're thinking or feeling.
And the seminar yesterday on living more simply, I feel great tension. There's part of me that would like to go to a nice restaurant and have a good meal and relax. And there's another part of me that says that $30 could feed a lot of people in Africa for a long time. And I feel that tension all the time. You know, is my good life or my good living based on others' deprivation? And I think that's a real struggle for Christians.
There's another aspect. And that is when you are perceived as good and know your own failings. I mean, that's Shantae.
Yes.
And you know, I've mother. She says, oh, you're such a good mother. And I said, you don't know that I yell at my children.
Because I don't do it in public.
Because I don't do it in public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's different.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe we should skip on a little ways. What happens is that the gods identify with her plight and they leave her with money that she buys a tobacco shop with. And as she's opening the shop, a bunch of freeloaders come along. People that had taken her in as long as she could pay the rent, and when she couldn't, they dumped her on the street, and they come now to live with her. Okay, the people that come, it's just a pass of them. That's a husband, a brother-in-law, a nephew, Mrs. Shin. We may have to just go down the list. Just to show you what her problem is, you might just turn to page 28. People have started to come in. The wife is the woman with whom Shin Tang first stayed with. Why don't we just start where the unemployed man comes in? The husband and wife have come to stay with her, and the woman that she bought the house with is asking her for assistance also. She's bought a tobacco shop with the money from the gods, and she's trying to set herself up so that she doesn't have to live by selling herself. David, would you like to take the unemployed man and Anne, would you take the wife? And you were Shin Tae before, so that'll just be convenient. Now I'll just read whatever comes in.
Whatever's next.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, we'll start sort of in the middle of the page where the unemployed man comes in.
Excuse me, I'm unemployed.
Can I help you?
Have you any damaged cigarettes? I thought there might be some damage when you're unpacking.
What nerve begging for tobacco? Why don't they ask for bread?
Bread is expensive. One cigarette butt and I'll be a new man.
That's very important, to be a new man. You'll be my first customer and bring me luck.
She gives him a cigarette, which he lights and goes off.
Was that right, Shin Tae, dear?
If this is the opening of a shop, you can hold the closing at the end of the week.
I bet he had money on him.
Oh no, he said he hadn't.
How do you know he wasn't lying?
How do you know he was?
You're too good, Shin Tae, dear. If you're going to keep this shop, you'll have to learn to say no.
Tell them the place isn't yours to dispose of. Belongs to some relative who insists on all accounts being strictly in order.
That's right. What do you think you are, a philanthropist?
Very well. I suppose I ask you for my rice back, Mrs. Shin.
So that's her rice?
Why don't we just stop here? This is Shin Tae's problem. Everybody comes to her for aid, and being really a good-hearted person, she tries to give it. But it's quite obvious that her goodness is going to keep her from the capitalist goal of making a profit. We can turn to page 40. This is the beginning of her answer to the solution. What she finally does is split her personality and becomes Shui Ta as well as Shin Tae. Shui Ta is her business-like cousin. And in the play, they do it by the actress playing Shin Tae putting on a mask and man's clothing. So when Shin Tae is in danger of just being engulfed by people who are taking advantage of her, Shui Ta comes and kind of rescues her. So this is the entrance of Shui Ta. We read from about 40 to 43. Did we have a sister-in-law before?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. So. Dave, why don't you take the husband, and you take the sister-in-law, just to keep things up. Why don't you take Shui Ta, Mary, and I'll take the wife, and Nancy. So, just if we come to an empty space and somebody jump in. It's kind of hard to solve your business, maybe.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Would you all please get dressed? Customers will be coming. I wish to open my shop.
Your shop? Doesn't it belong to our good friend, Shente?
So we've been cheated. Where is the little liar?
Miss Shente has been delayed. She wishes me to tell you that there will be nothing she can do. Now I am...
I thought she was good. Do you believe him?
I don't.
Then do something.
Certainly. I'll send out a search party at once. You, and you, go out and look for Shente. Not you, Grandfather. You and I will hold the fort.
You won't find Miss Shente. She has suspended her hospitable activity for an unlimited period. There are too many of you. She has asked me to stay. This is a tobacco shop, not a gold mine.
Shente never said a thing like that. Boy, food. There's a bakery on the corner. Stuff your shirt full when they're not looking.
Don't overlook the raspberry tarts.
And don't let the policemen see you.
Don't you depend on this shop now? Then why give it a bad name by stealing from the bakery?
Don't listen to him. Let's find Shente. She'll give him a piece of her mind.
Don't forget to leave us some breakfast.
You see, Mr. Carpenter, nothing has changed since a poet 1,100 years ago penned these lines. A governor was asked what was needed to save the freezing people in the city. He replied, a blanket 10,000 feet long to cover the city and all its suburbs.
And that stuck.
That's a cute one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So her solution then was to split her personality. And do you ever feel like that? That's happening to you, that split personality?
Of course. It's the mask, the front, that we all wear. As a teacher, I wear it. I am Mrs. Soltman.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's the facade I wear.
Mm.
And you don't let the little things bug you when you are Mrs. Soltman because it ruins your ability to teach in some way.
Yeah.
Or you play a role.
Right. It's the same thing.
Okay.
I played for a funeral. I'm a very dear friend, and I'd never done this before, and I wanted very much to do it, and people, and I didn't know what to expect of myself, and friends asked me, how did you do it? And I said, because during that time, I was in a role.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think about it, there's other times, times of crisis that I, this is the way you see yourself through, whether the crisis is great or small. Mm-hmm. It's a way of surviving and being effective.
Mm-hmm.
Not letting your heart rule your head.
Okay, so sometimes a mask is really necessary to carry on. You know, so sometimes a mask can be a very good thing to wear.
Because your heart is really your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'd have to say, I mean, I've used the mask, like when I work with students, sometimes students would come to me with personal problems, and if they did, I really tried to listen and be understanding. But I also know that there were times when I put out all kinds of signals to my students, if it doesn't have to do with the class, please don't come and tell me about your alcoholic father. You know, it was that sense of, I just have all I can take care of in my own life, please don't dump your personal problems on me. And I never said that, but you know, we do all these little nonverbal things that are very business-like, and we leave after the class, and I can't help thinking that at least I did that. It's just for personal protection. I only had so much time, and I could help, and I could listen to a few personal problems, but I could, it was like Shente, you know, you get inundated. And, you know, I don't think that mask is always a good thing to wear. I think there were times when I wore it that maybe I could have been helpful to someone else. But I also know I put it on just like Shente did to survive. And if it's a good play, there will be points that we tune into and we say, oh yes, you know, something similar happened to me. Even though this place, that kind of exotic place, and Bettelbrecht was a German, and the play was written about 1945, in the midst of World War II, really. But these were concerns that, you know, are still kind of valid for us.
Well, that's a universality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Greeks were concerned
sure.
with that, and mm-hmm. up from them, mm-hmm. in literary criticism. And it's
sure.
still important. That's the connection you hope when I teach high school, to that the students will somehow connect with themselves in this work of art. If they do, you got it.
Yeah, and the work of art now is working for them.
Right.
It's helping them see life more fully. Your realization, I'm not alone in this. Other people feel like this and do this too. And I think that can be really helpful.
Portia and Tate runs into one problem and then another. She stops a pilot from committing suicide. He can't get a job. The only way you can get a job as a pilot in this province is to bribe your way, and he doesn't have any money. She stops him from committing suicide, and in the process falls in love with him. But he too, like everyone else, is trying to use her. So I think we're going to skip over the part of the meeting. It's a very nice little love scene, and it's a very delightful part of the play, but I kind of like to just get a little further into the meat of the play. On 58, Shante has just some beautiful lines about what goodness is, and why goodness is desirable. Oh, maybe we could just go back to Mary. It's that kind of long speech right in the middle of page 58.
Once?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once, when I was a little girl, I fell with a load of brushwood. An old man picked me up. He gave me a penny, too. Isn't it funny how people who don't have very much like to give something of it away? They must like to show what they can do, and how could they show it better than by being kind? Being wicked is just like being clumsy. When we sing a song, or build a machine, or plant some rice, we're being kind. You're kind.
Do you have any responses to that? No, page 58.
I like that. Being wicked is just like being clumsy.
Yeah. Is that her idea of to plant a tree, to plant some rice, to sing a song, to give a child a penny who's falling down? I don't know. How do you tune that in with Christianity? Are those some good directives for being kind?
It's evidence of empathy.
Okay.
All of those are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I don't know about building a sheet. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
It's certainly something positive we do. Sometimes when I think about all the garbage I generate, and I think, am I going to leave this world a better place than when I came? You know, because they're going to have to cut down trees in mine and pollute the air for my heat and my food. And I think about that. What am I doing to make the world a little better? What rice am I planting?
There's an Indian philosopher by the name Krishnamurti. One of the examples, he talks about being kind. Well, one of his examples is just picking a rock up out of the road. You know, people walk a path, clearing the path, even though he's coming along.
Yeah. And I was kind on Wednesday, and he walks up the rock under the Heartland Trail.
I think Greg would really affirm that. We just had two people join us, and just to kind of share with them where we've been. Shante is a prostitute who is visited by three gods who are looking for one good person left in the world. And she is basically good. She wants to do good things. But when they give her money to improve her life, many people come to take advantage of her goodness. And she has the misfortune of even falling in love with a young man who's a pilot and out of work. And the only way he can get work is to bribe somebody. And he doesn't have money, and he wants to take advantage of Shante. And so she's trying to talk about a suicide with this speech. And the play is about the dilemma of being good in the wicked world. Let's see, another place that I had picked up was just to kind of get into the area that Greg doesn't think that it's hopeless. It's on 67, and I just kind of titled this Small Miracles. Her answer to her dilemma of being good is that she invents a business-like cousin who handles the world in the way of survival. So her cousin says no to hungry people who come to the door. And her cousin throws out those people that are trying to take advantage of her. Let's see, middle of 67, I have to... This is Shente is in love with the flyer. And let's see, Paul, would you take Mr. Shufu? We'll just start right at the middle of the page. She's buying a shawl because she's so happy about being in love. And let's see, you're going to have to take
Agnes.
Agnes, would you read the old woman?
Okay.
We'll keep our same Shente.
The old man.
Yeah, and Dave, you take the old man, and Anne and I will sit out this time.
Now, Shufu is...
He's a wealthy businessman who has been watching the goodness of Miss Shente.
It surprises me how beautiful Miss Shente is looking today. I never gave her a passing thought before, but now I've been gazing upon her comely form for exactly 3 minutes. I begin to suspect I am in love with her. She is overpoweringly attractive. Be off with you, rascal.
Isn't it lovely? We'll give you a reduction because there's a little hole in it.
The other one is nice, too.
Too bad. There's no hole in that.
That's right. My shop doesn't make very much.
And your good deeds eat it all up. Be more careful, my dear.
It alone, but consider it a gift. And
sometimes you call it, give it out of the line because you're receiving it after the end.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, I did that with my daughter when she was first married. And she gave us some money to buy a car. And they had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was still in school and she was expecting a baby. And it didn't make any difference to me whether I had it back or not. But I never really got it back. I got it back from Ginger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that happens to us sometimes in relationships, that we might invest in somebody who really a very poor person is present. And I know, Paul, that's a big experience, that you've invested in people that at that moment have really nothing to give. Does it pay off sometimes? Do you feel like you get it back with interest?
I'm not a scorekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
In investing other things, time and relationships. With students is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
One investment of time was just a wonderful expense of my time. Another, as far as I could tell, in the long run, had no effect at all. So,
in the very act of the giving, the investment pays off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Because we take energy from offering the gift.
Mm-hmm.
There was one circumstance when I offered and really invested quite a bit in the relationship with this one student. And it didn't seem to make any difference at all. I don't know.
I'm sort of surprised here from this thing sometimes. I was watching a TV program, I don't watch a lot, but the sentence was to be a story of an undercover common cop that was infiltrated in high school. She was correct on her. But anyway, the teacher was drawn to her. She acted like she was the heart, I don't give a darn student, and the teacher was somewhat attracted and gave her some special kindness. The teacher then felt just betrayed when she finds out in the end that she's not even a student, she's a nun. And she says to her, you know, how could you do this to me? I gave you this time that I could have been using for someone worthwhile, you know, to give the time mm-hmm. to. No, it struck me strange that she felt that way. Because I thought whatever you gave that student was a plus to that student rather than that person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you imparted to her was a plus. What's the difference whether or not mm-hmm. she was a legitimate
yeah.
high school student or if she was, you know. Certainly that was a gift both directions, mm-hmm. but maybe mm-hmm. it's because I don't know, I'm a substitute elementary teacher, and certainly there are some kids that are much more strong or appreciative or just that never to be kind to whatever you give.
I don't need to wait for some result 6 weeks from now. It's not when this, to use Agnes's illustration, there should have been sufficient joy and energy in the event by offering to that person, whether you find out later that the person was a pseudo-student, not material, but that there was genuineness in the giving. Mm-hmm. That's material.
Mm-hmm. And I would concur with that, that the young lady I was working with continued very destructive behaviors.
But you can't take responsibility for that.
No.
You offer her your best.
Hopefully it was.
And you know, maybe there was more than you know. You know, we don't know what other choices she avoided. I don't want to compare that to the current policy of this country, deterrence. We avoided war.
But when I think of my own grandparents, I think, gee, I get a lot more from them than what I'm giving them, you know, because you get that sense of your friends giving to you very richly. And that's kind of an insight for me. I'm wondering now, what am I giving them? And sometimes I'm giving.
Receivership.
Yeah, that's also a gift. Mm-hmm. The one that you do. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. To say, I need help, that's probably those are the hardest words to say. Well,
think of how many gifts are held back because we don't sense an eager receptivity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or I experience that a lot.
And really, you know, what, were you here when we read that little thing of what is goodness and happiness is goodness?
The kind thing?
Yeah, being kind, yeah. I think very Christian message, that the joy is in the giving. Mm-hmm. To be with us is to be clumsy in this world. It's really to go against everything God does. Mm. Nice insight. I really appreciate you saying that.
I wish you had time to read the whole play. Shantae has a song on 71 that's a very nice poetry, and I just thought that would be fun to read together. And you didn't get to read much the last time. Would you like to read that? It's sort of in the middle. That little bit longer speech.
Your brother is assaulted, and you shut your eyes. He is hit, cries out in pain, and you are silent. The beast prowls, chooses and seizes the victim, and you say, because we showed no displeasure, he has spared us. If no one present will be a witness, I will. I'll say, I shall.
Is there any response you'd like to share? Yeah. I think that's a really breath message of the playwright. It's right there. Because he wrote this play about 1945, and he had fled from Hitler. And he really is crying out, I think, not only in this play, but in all the things he's written. This is really central to what he's trying to say. To my knowledge, he's not a Christian. I think he's a humanist and a Marxist, but I didn't read anything that would connect him with Christianity. You know, she's going to risk perjury if a man has been hurt. Nobody else will be a witness for him at the trial. And she feels so strongly for justice and for helping this man that she's willing to risk perjury. I will, if no one present will be a witness, I will. I'll say I'm sorry. I guess I think about people going to Nicaragua and standing on the border to be witnesses. I'll be here all witness. The end of the phrase is, what happened is, you understand that the pilot sort of embezzles money from Shantae, and so she brings her business-like cousin in, and he threatens Yang Sun with prison unless he goes to work for Shu Yitao, which is really Shantae in disguise. Then they make a very wealthy tobacco business, employing the poor of the neighborhood. So what she's done is by employing capitalists and working the workers very, very hard, Yang Sun then becomes a wonderful foreman. He drives the workers mercilessly. He has this good-for-nothing now becomes an imperialist businessman capitalist. And I think Breck, being a Marxist, is, you know, digging in a little bit there. But Yang Sun makes something of his life by becoming a good manager and by making a profit. And unemployed people are put to work that they're not housed very well or treated very well, but at least they're not on the street. But Yang Sun becomes suspicious that Shu Yitao is keeping Shantae prisoner. And he finds out that Shantae is pregnant and Mr. Shu Yitao has been getting bigger and bigger. And Shantae worries about this, but somebody else says, no, you're a wealthy businessman, everybody thinks you're doing that. But anyway, when Yang Sun thinks that Shantae has been imprisoned by Shu Yitao, he brings him to a trial, and the gods then become the judges at the trial. Mr. Shu Yitao is being accused of at least imprisoning Shantae or causing her death. So on page 126 is this conversation with the gods.
I wonder if the Nuffles understand what is happening.
Oh, wait a minute, we should go to 126. Sure, that's the trial. 126 is long conversation. Well, 126 will kind of catch us up on what's happened to Shantae. Shantae, to keep these people from taking advantage of her goodness, takes on the personality of Shu Yitao and wears a mask and puts on mask clothes.
Oh.
So okay. Shantae is Shu Yitao. Okay. The audience knows that, but the other characters in the play don't know. Well, why don't we go to 126? Let's see. David read long before. Why don't we just stay with the three gods as they were, and then when we get to the trial, we'll ask them to finish it up this next day.
Illustrious one, at last you're here. Shantae's been gone for months, and today her cousin's been arrested. They think he murdered her to get the shop, and I had a dream. And in this dream, Shantae said her cousin was keeping her prisoner. You must find her for us, illustrious one.
We found very few good people anywhere, and even they didn't keep it up. Shantae is still the only one that stayed good.
If she has been good.
Certainly she has, but she's vanished.
That's the last straw. All is lost.
A little moderation, dear colleague.
What's the good of moderation now? If she can't be found, we'll have to be dying. The world is a terrible place. Nothing but misery, vulgarity, waste. Even the countryside isn't what it used to be. The trees are getting their hips chopped off by telephone wires. And there's such a noise from all the gunfire, and I can't stand those heavy clouds of smoke.
The place is absolutely unlivable. Good intentions bring people to the brink of abyss, and good deeds push them over the edge. I'm afraid our book of rules is destined for the scrappy.
It's people. They're a worthless lot.
The world is too cold.
It's people. They're too weak.
Dignity, dear colleagues, dignity. Never despair. As for this world, didn't we agree that we only have to find one human being who can stand the place? Well, we found her. True, we lost her again. We must find her again, that's all, at once.
This is the one of the trial. Just a couple of pages and maybe we can read the end of the play. Oh, misery. Let's see. The trial starts and the people that lost Shantae come and testify
And I think what we need to do is to go to Shente's defense with the gods. The neighbors who do not like Shiri-Chaw come and testify against him, and it looks like Shiri-Chaw is going to be convicted of at least imprisoning Shente, if not killing her. And so Shente says, if the judges will clear the court, then I will make a confession. So, yeah, 136, go to the middle of that page. We'll keep the same thought, actually. It's the same thing in the God. Well, why don't we just keep the same people? And then, Paul, you could read the epilogue right at the end. That's about 139.
You could read Second God, Shiri-Chaw.
Oh, yeah, why don't you, okay. Why don't you, Paul, why don't you read Shiri-Chaw, and you get the Second God.
Which page is
it? We're at 136.
Shiri-Chaw finishes here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that Shente and Shiri-Chaw are the same. So you take Shiri-Chaw as Shente.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's Shente impersonates
Shiri-Chaw.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. The court is cleared. We'll just take it next time. Shiri-Chaw then illustrious one.
Illustrious one. Yes, I recognize you. What have you done with our good woman of Sichuan? How is it?
Sichuan.
I have a terrible confession to make. I am she. Shente? Shente, yes. Shiri-Chaw and Shente, both. Your injunction to be good and yet to live was a thunderbolt. It has torn me in two. I can't tell how it was, but to be good to others and myself at the same time, I could not do it. Your world is not an easy one, illustrious one. When we extend our hand to a beggar, he tears it off for us. When we help the lost, we are lost ourselves. And so, since not to eat is to die, who can long refuse to be bad? As I lay prostrate between the weight of good intentions, ruin stared me in the face. It was when I was unjust that I ate good meat and hobnobbed with the mighty. Why? Why are the bad deeds rewarded, good ones punished? I enjoyed giving. I truly wished to be the angel of the slum. But washed by a foster mother in the water of the gutter, I developed a sharp eye. The time came when pity was a thorn in my side. And later, when kind words turned to ashes in my mouth and anger took over, I became a wolf. Find me guilty then, illustrious one, but no. All I have done, I did to help my neighbor, to love my lover, and to keep my little ones from want. For your great godly deeds, I was too poor, too small.
Don't go on making yourself miserable, Shente. We're overjoyed to have found you.
I'm telling you, I'm the bad man who committed all those crimes.
The good woman who did all those good deeds?
Yes, but the bad man too.
Unfortunate coincidence. Heart is bigger.
But how is she to continue?
Continue? Well, she's a strong, healthy girl. You didn't see what she saw. I heard everything that she was confused, that's all. And what about this book of rules? We can't renounce our rules, can we? The world be changed? How? By whom? The world should not be changed. And now the hour of parting is at hand. If thou behold Shente,